Gandhi said this about Christians: "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." It is true that some Christians misrepresent Jesus, but should that turn people away from him? Let's talk about it.
There's a tendency for us to become overwhelmed by the culture we live in. It's natural for us to want to fit in and be liked. The danger comes when fitting in causes us to compromise our biblical beliefs in favor of the ways of our culture. In today's program, Dave Gorduc, pastor of spiritual life at Hope Sound Bible Church, will teach us in Faith by the Book how standing for godliness will, at some point, contrast with the culture we live in. Let's listen to Dave as he teaches us how to make choices to follow true biblical principles.
There are some things I'm glad Jesus didn't say. In fact, if he had, I might agree with Gandhi about not liking Christians. For example, if Jesus had said, "Hate your enemies," that would open the door to a violent life. That would allow for murder, revenge, rage would be allowed. Killing could actually be done in the name of Christ. Now, it's true that killing and persecution has been and is being done in the name of religion. But it can't be done legitimately in the name of Christ, because Jesus never said, "Hate your enemies." In fact, Jesus said, "Love your enemies." That's a hard thing to do. But Jesus didn't ask us to follow something that was easy. He asked us to follow a new way. He asked us to forgive. In fact, that's a second thing I'm glad Jesus didn't say. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, "Forgive seven times, and that's all." You know, often we keep score. They did this to us. We're going to do this back to them. I was talking to a student at a university. He came from one of the Southeast Asian countries, and he was telling me about his plans for going back and revenging one of his relatives' murders. And I asked him, "How long is this going to go on? They murdered your relative, you're going to murder theirs. There's no end to that." Jesus breaks in and says, "I want you to forgive." Instead of saying, "I forgive until seven times," Jesus said, "I say not until seven times, but until 70 times seven." For him, there's no room for grudges and unforgiveness. Forgiveness is hard. It's not easy, especially when we have enemies that have harmed us and hurt our loved ones. Corrie ten Boom was in World War II in a concentration camp, watched guards harm her sister until her sister actually died in that camp. After the war, she was talking about forgiveness and how forgiveness was important. And one day she met one of the guards that had so abused her sister. The guard came to her wanting to shake her hand, but she didn't feel forgiveness for him. And in her heart, she cried out, "Oh God, you must forgive through me." And she felt God's power to forgive through her as she reached out her hand and clasped the hand of that former guard in that prison camp. Forgive. I'm glad Jesus also didn't say, "Recruit laborers for the harvest." There are a lot of military recruitings, recruitings for paramilitary groups, recruitings for terrorist groups, conscription, force, money is involved. But Jesus never conscripted people and said, "I want you to go out and recruit laborers." What Jesus said instead was this. He said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest field." In other words, it's not up to us to recruit others. It's up to us to be an example of what Jesus and his love is. In fact, many people who come to Christ and become followers of Jesus don't come because of someone recruiting them or someone convincing them. They come because they see the love of Jesus in the life of a person. We can pray, but not coerce. We can encourage, but not force. Paul the Apostle said it like this. He said, "It's the love of Christ that constrains me." And it's that love that reaches out to people who need to hear that message. Another thing I'm glad Jesus didn't say It's come unto me, all ye that have your lives straightened out and are finally together, and I'll receive you. In fact, if that were the case, the way to God would only be open to those who are already righteous. So it would actually be open to no one. The way of the Pharisees would seem to be legitimized, where they thought by their straight-laced living and their pedigrees and their backgrounds that they were somehow accepted with God. And yet that was way off. Jesus didn't say, come to me when you have it together. In fact, those very Pharisees didn't actually have it together. In fact, whenever a woman came, they brought a woman who had been taken in adultery in front of Jesus. And they said, we've been told by Moses' law to stone such a one. What do you say? And Jesus wrote something on the ground, and then he stood up and he turned to them and he said, he that is without sin among you, go ahead and cast the first stone. Do you know not a one of them was able to pick up a stone, but from the oldest to the youngest, they stood and turned and walked away, leaving Jesus alone with this woman. And what did he say to her? He said, where are your accusers? Does no one accuse you? She said, no one's left, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She didn't have her life straightened out. In fact, Jesus is far more concerned about our future than our past. He does something about our past. He went to the cross about our past, but he's much more concerned about what's going to happen from now on. No, it's not, come unto me, all you that have your lives straightened out. It is this. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You may be laboring under a burden of sin. You may have a heart that is guilty. You may have done things you're ashamed of. It weighs heavy on your heart. Jesus said, bring that to me. I'll give you rest. Come to the cross of Christ. There is hope there for the hopeless. There is help there for the weak. You can cast yourself on Jesus because he is there, not for the perfect, but for those that need help. In fact, Jesus said, he is like a physician. He said, the people that are well don't need a physician. It's the sick that need a physician. And Jesus is the great physician of our souls. He's done something about the trouble that we're in. We're in trouble because of our sin. The Bible says all of us have sinned and we've fallen short of God's perfection. And yet Jesus took our sins upon himself. He took them to the cross. He died for our sins. And then he rose again on the third day. And now he's alive. And Jesus, who is the Christ, the promised one, the perfect Son of God, stands at the right hand of the Father, waiting for us to come to him. And when we come, he offers to give us his rest. You can come to Christ today as a result of his invitation for you. Come unto me, he said, I will give you rest. When Gandhi said, I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. He truly was seeing people that misrepresented Jesus. Because Jesus showed us that as Christians, we're to reflect what he was like. We're to reflect his grace. We're to reflect his love to our enemies, because Jesus loved his enemies. We're to reflect his forgiveness, because even when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at those that had crucified him and said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When Jesus called laborers, he didn't conscript them. He just asked them to follow him. And then he calls us to follow him too. It's not by force, it's by choice. You can choose today to follow Jesus.
We pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to today's message and hope that you'll come back and listen again on this same station. This program has been a production of Live Hope and Sound Broadcasting.